Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Advent. If you have snoring, sleep apnea, or nasal breathing problems, go to adventnose.com to schedule your appointment.
Larry, this comment's for you.
Who did you say you're directing this to?
Larry.
Larry who?
Boa.
Larry Horse.
He doesn't like the Angels very much.
No, he thinks Mike Socha's just done a bad job.
Like your guy, whoever is, ripping our roster?
Yeah, Larry Horse hey, go, just go thinks down, your roster down, blows.
Both Mike Socha and Kevin O'Neill had to hear what Larry Horse thought of their respective rosters, and why not? Terry Bors joins us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. Yesterday was really quite the thing. I never thought that the woke socio-political mob would come after Bob Baffert and try to cancel his horse.
He's like the guy you invite over for a Friday night poker game, and he cheats your ass. He's cheating every way because he figures out a way to beat the system, right? So he comes over and he cheats your ass, takes everybody's money, and then next week you don't invite him and he's outraged. You're canceling me. I'm done. What are you talking about? What did I do? Come on. I'm coming. No, you're not. I mean, and the thing about it is these guys, this goes as far back as I can think to the overly hefty Johnny Campo, big fat pain in the ass way, way back, the days of Pleasant Colony. I mean, all these guys, they all think they're smarter than everybody else. And then when they get caught, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you realize what those horses are like at night? I mean, in terms of security and everything that's in one of those big-time stables. So you think somebody coming in there in the middle of the night is getting your horse drugs? Then you need them. Are you kidding me? Those things are like armed camps. You don't go in a stable and... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get even with Bob Baffert. No, you're not. I mean, all those guys, every one of them that I've ever run into, except Charlie Whittingham, God bless him, is the only one, and maybe he did. I don't know. He never had anything against him as far as I know. But, I mean, he used to be so mad at all of them. And I'm sure there are guys right now, if you talk to some of the other contemporary trainers, although Todd Fletcher's a cheater, most of them are. Of today's trainers, today's best trainers, all of them have stuff against them. For the most part, they do. And to say, well, I don't know. What are you talking about? He didn't test. Yet another horse test positive a couple of years ago, numbnuts. What are you talking about? I don't know. I don't know where. I've never even heard it. Yes, you have. I mean, it's so galling, and I know I have so many friends of mine who play horses and, you know, gamblers, and it just infuriates everybody. And he has always been right on the cusp. And this last year now, he's been caught. And how about the idea that the Salon Paz patch, the lie detector, is getting in the horses?
Yeah, I didn't quite figure that out because was he saying that the trainer had the Salon Pos patch on, or that it fell off and the horse was chewing on it? Like how? Right, but if he's wearing it, the lidocaine can't like absorb from his fingers into a horse.
Thank you, Doctor. Yeah, I think I speak for everybody. Like, what are you talking about? But that was another one. I forget how he said he did it, that the horse did it, but I don't know if he put it something, but he blamed one of his assistant trainers, but some lackey that's in the stable, cleaning or whatever, that he had a lidocaine patch on, it got to the horse.
Well, the other one too. There was the first one. He said there was Jimson weed in the feed or the bedding. Yes. That apparently he also said it could have been the bedding. It could have been like where the horse was sleeping made a drug soak in through his skin. And like this strange credulity here. Like I don't have to be a horseman and I don't have to be a doctor to understand that he's peeing on my leg here and not in the hay.
And he's not. I mean, I love the fact that he's so mad at the people at Churchill Downs. Well, we've always had a great relationship. They know you're a cheating piece of crap, and now you got caught again. What are you talking about? Your relationship should be severed. I can't believe, and now I'm canceled. Cancel culture has come to get me. No, I mean, what? Oh, my God. Every excuse gets, pardon the expression, since we're talking about horse racing, lamer than the next. But it's gone on and on. And, you know, those are the ones we know of. But you and I mostly play who bet horses or love horse racing or whatever, and there's still a damn lot of people who do. Even this generation somewhat has come forward, although they still like it just for they've learned to like it more than my generation, which we had nothing else to do. But this was... You know, it's an insult to everybody who has a brain. Now, I don't know how much territory that takes in, but everybody who has an actual thought that matters, it should be insulted by this guy. And then he's been spraying this crap for 2 days. Has he heard the word contrite? I mean, not a bit.
That's why I don't understand what he thinks the public battle is going to do other than just the sheer defiance, other than because he sees Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz doing it. Like he's adding himself to this ignominious list. And you wonder if this is just what you're supposed to do now is deny, deny, deny with the most outlandish possible excuses and prevarications, that maybe this is just like had somebody brought up the fact it's a good thing that the Houston Astros thing happened when it did, because otherwise everybody involved might be doing the same thing. It's all fake. It's all made up. Everybody's just out to get me because they're jealous of me.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? We've sort of learned, sadly, in the last, couple months, three or half a year, whatever, that people do buy it. Do buy it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Dan, there are a million people out there who think he didn't do it. I guarantee it, even though there's evidence up the yin-yang on this guy, I guarantee you there are people saying, no, never, nope, never happened, nope, uh-uh, no, Bob wouldn't do that. Oh, Bob would do that.
Well, why does it take so long for these things to grind through the disciplinary systems, too? Like, you read about something that happened at the Arkansas Derby like a year and a half ago, that there's the test and the retest and the appeal, and then the New York Times reported he's had 29 different times getting a horse getting flagged for something. Why does it not matter? You know, at what point do they actually punish these guys and say, look, you're not allowed to do business in this state or according to this sanctioning body?
Because there is no body of horse racing that's powerful enough to do anything about it. There is nobody in involved in this that is powerful enough that has the say that can get it done. And you know why they don't want to get it? Because they don't want to. They don't want to. I mean, you've had ample proof for decades of this stuff going on. They don't want to. I mean, when you're in a sport that's been marginalized in this generation, particularly, I think, even though the big events still draw the everything you want, the crazy hat, all the other stuff, the crazy hats, the crazy people, they still draw that. But they don't want to do anything that looks bad for their sport. You know, other sports don't care. You're done. You're out 10 games or 10, whatever it is. You're done. You're going to be done for a while. And if you do it again, then there's really going to be a punishment. But you don't see any of that in horse racing. You don't see it. It just doesn't exist. They just don't feel like they have the leverage to go ahead and suspend, dare I say, the face of the Kentucky Derby. I mean, maybe it's the other end of the horse. It's not my face at the Kentucky Derby. I mean, not mine, but they just don't want to. I mean, the bottom line is they don't want to.
We're talking with the unmistakable voice of Terry Bors, who is joining us here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Layla is off today and tomorrow, so we'll just be hanging out here. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what you thought of what the Bears did on draft day. And I was recognizing today, as we sit here, I can think about the Bears and not be completely miserable. And that's a victory. It's a real victory that I can actually, I can see scenarios where things don't have me just completely bereft and miserable. And that's because of Justin Fields, who I really like and really hope that they accelerate the timetable on him. Where are you on where the Bears are?
I'm sort of wondering. I think that, these guys, they debate everything. I'd like to get some of these general managers in a room. And I don't even know if I'd let them out of it. I'd just like to get them in a room and lock the door and say, all right, bye. I mean, they debate everything. Everything is this, that, and the other. And I think they let a really good quarterback slip to the Bears. I do. I think he's a pretty good player. I mean, it's hard sometimes, you miss going from college to the pros. And how many busts have we seen, for the love of God? I mean, the list is incredible. I saw someone, they gave me the complete list of the last 20 years. It makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, don't look at that list.
I'll never look at it again. I promise. I will never look at it again. But yeah, I think the Bears did the right thing. I think that's a really smart move. And some of them I don't understand. Look, I want a quarterback. I'm drafting. I want a quarterback who has played big time program, big time football, big games. And I know the last year's been hard to tell anything where we're at or what we're doing, but I think he rings all those bells, doesn't he? I think that's what you're sort of looking for. I mean, not that you don't necessarily have to be, but in my world, that's a plus.
Your scouting report on Trubisky early. And I remember when he started playing, and we noticed the athleticism and arm strength and everything else, and you had it, because you said, for whatever reason, he's just not accurate. You said he's just not accurate. And some of that was not anticipating. Some of that is just not knowing coverages. And some of it is just his targeting system. He just wasn't accurate. The thing about Fields, when
you're a smart guy. Let me interrupt you a second. How can you be that guy and not know coverages, by the way? How can you be a quarterback and be that bad at that? How is that possible?
With all that teaching, they keep bringing in special coaches, and they say he's doing the work. They spent $10 million on a virtual reality system to constantly show him these things, and it just didn't happen. He just doesn't have that capacity. And yet, when you read the scouting reports on Justin Fields, they say accurate at every level. You talk about ball placement and where that thing is for his receivers. It may just be that's kind of the secret sauce here, that rather than overthinking it, can the guy put the ball where it's got to go in that league? And if they're right on that, they're going to hit on this.
I think if we could be football executives after we did 17 years of this, it was second guessing and over guessing and stupid guessing and everything else we did. But I don't think any of this is that. I don't. I think that this is for real. I didn't see anything. I watched him probably 5 times last year, and I didn't see any of that stuff that I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you remember when we talked about it, I never saw Trubisky play in college. I didn't know who the hell he was when they were doing this. When his name came up, I had to look and say, what? A what from a what? I mean, I just think there's an advantage to having a guy who has to fills all those boxes. He doesn't, there's nothing that I see about him they say he's a little slow. There's a little really. There's okay, but that's at least I think he knows coverages. I think he understands offenses. I think he's willing to study all the stuff that all the things that we don't know about. We don't see behind the scenes. He checks all the boxes for me. I mean, I don't look. It's hard to predict NFL greatness. It really is. It's difficult as hell to say, you know, he's going to be an All-Pro within 3 years. I don't know that, but all I know is that for the first time in a while, the Bears did the right thing. I mean, how the hell they weaseled their way into getting that kid? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Because I think that's exactly what I'm looking for. That is exactly one of the quarterbacks I'm looking for. That's the kind of guy that's on my list. And you notice he kept tumbling back. What did he do? Did he do something? I don't remember him doing anything during all the quarterback stuff and the quarterback days and all that stuff. Did he do something that was disturbing?
No, it's a confluence of circumstances. You had teams that already had their quarterbacks, and you have, you know, Vic Fangio, your guy, wanting to take a defensive back, even though they say they're still looking for a quarterback. Vic Fangio, your guy. But I don't know. So, and occasionally, sometimes, maybe the arc of history is allowed to bend toward the Bears every once in a while. But our hopes will be dashed, and we'll all be miserable in a matter of months. We know that.
Oh, so. Yeah. Call me back. Of course, they said they're going to be slow with them. They're not, you know, they're going to take their time with them and get it right. And my thought is that I don't look at that Bears quarterbacking crew and think, oh yeah, he'll have a touchdown beating them out.
No, and I know you're all excited about Tim Tebow joining the Jacksonville Jaguars as a third string tight end at 34 years old. All your energy is going to be there. I know that. I know you will.
Well, Des Bryant's mad though.
Yes.
He's angry, but I'm thinking, dude, that's one of his best friends in life who's taking him in. He's like his father taking him in. Wait a minute. What are you with this idiot for? I'm with you. I don't want this idiot. But that's like daddy taking him home. I mean, what? That's nothing to do with you. It's daddy. Daddy's coming to call him. He's got you. Here he comes to save you. Oh, my God. And I thought, just when I thought that, you know, look at those minor league numbers were some, weren't they?
Ooh, yikes. Yes. Yeah, that didn't work. So back to football and playing the position everybody thought he should play anyway. And we'll always have that Bears game and the Marion Barber run out of bounds. So I know.
I know.
We'll always have that. Terry, great catching up. Best of health to you and yours and everybody. I hope you got some baseball games you can go watch.
Oh, I do, and I got some for you to think about without looking it up, okay?
Okay.
Something for you to think about. And you, I heard you doing some numbers yesterday. You're Mr. Numbers, but I'm old-time numbers, too. That Joey Votto recently hit his 300th home run, okay?
Got it.
Remember old Joey in the Votto? He hit his 300th home run.
Okay.
There are 8 other players right now in Major League Baseball. Okay. Who have hit 300 or more homers. Start jotting down. They're making a list. If you can figure out who the other 8 are,
okay,
playing right damn now with 300 or more home runs career in baseball without that damn computer.
Okay. Well, okay, you've got, you don't have Pujols anymore because does he count?
He counts. Yeah. He's still, yeah. He still is. Yep.
You have Pujols.
Pujols is correct.
You have Miggy.
Absolutely.
You have Nelson Cruz?
That's correct. Yeah, he's a big, powerful man. Twins suck, thank God.
Okay, you don't. It is, Encarnacion is not on a roster.
Nope.
Is Trout over 300?
Yes, he is.
Yep.
That's another one. Michael. So Mike Trout is, he is just unbelievable.
Right?
Oh, my God. I don't know how many players I've ever seen in my life like that, but yeah, Mike Trout is there. So Pujols, Cabrera, Nelson Cruz, Mike Trout, and then another big muscle guy.
Yeah,
Muscle.
It's Stanton.
Yeah, Stanton. And then the other guys are kind of normal sized guys. The other three are normal sized human beings. They're not. Although one of them kind of a little questionable, I think about how his got to his 300, but two of them for sure are not not guys who are doing anything. They're not Bob Baffert stable guys. But normal-sized guys, all three of them. They're not. You don't look at them and say, holy crap, I bet he's hit 300. No, no. You don't look at them and think that.
Does Goldschmidt have 300?
He does not.
He does not. I'm just trying to think
of
guys who are still raking, still hanging.
Well, you've done great, though.
I did okay. In the interest of time, give us the final three.
Robinson Cano.
Ah.
Justin Upton. And Evan Longoria.
God. I would have been forever on those guys. It would have taken me forever.
Yeah, I know. Those are the tough ones, right? But anyway, yeah. You know, I'm doing okay. I'm still recovering from another back surgery, but I'm hanging in there. I'm old. I'm tired, and perhaps gay, but I'm all right.
You sound I'm hanging great. In. Live your truth, Terry. Thank you.
All right. Thanks as always for having me, Dan. Take care of yourself.
Love that, man. That is the great Terry Bores. Sound like a million damn dollars. Next up, Sam Munson, a Pro Football Focus. He and his people loved the Bears' first pick and the second one that they made, too. So we'll talk Bears with him next on The Score.
Larry
who?
Boa.
Larry Horse.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to The Score. An Odyssey station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I wanna rock! Rock!
Let's talk football with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He is on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. He is on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. He joins the Bernstein and Rahimi show also as part of our Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Sam, how are you?
Doing good. How about you?
Good. I have to tell you that we played the panel discussion that you had with your friends at PFF immediately after the Bears traded up and made the selection of Justin Fields, and we're not good at optimism. At least I'm not, and I guess I project that, having done this now for a quarter century and growing up a Bears fan and following them. But it doesn't feel completely miserable to be a Bears fan right now, because I think Justin Fields is pretty damn good at football.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is, if you can't be optimistic right now, there's no optimistic if you're a Bears fan. I mean, they made the big move that everybody has been expecting them to have done for a while now, and secured a potential real hope of a long-term impact franchise quarterback in the future. You know, a lot of people had said that Chicago was going to make some kind of big splash in the quarterback market this offseason. And so far, heading into the draft, the closest they had come was signing Andy Dalton. And that was just this sort of depressing, you know, realization of what was supposed to be an optimistic offseason. But this changes everything. You get a guy like Justin Fields, who you don't have to go back very far to find people saying that, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is the number one quarterback, the number one player in this draft, but don't be shocked if Justin Fields is the number one guy. And actually, Fields is the quarterback that people are going to be tanking for in 2020. That's 12 months ago. That wasn't that long ago. And, you know, he ends up sliding really through no fault of his own, and Chicago jumps up and makes that deal happen. So I think this is a fantastic move for them.
I read a piece in the Tribune this morning. Brad Biggs asked some people around the league, asked some front office executives, would you rather trade whatever the prospective enormous package of resources was going to be for Russell Wilson, or move up in the way you did, keep more of your powder dry, and have Justin Fields? And it was fascinating to hear how many executives said, yeah, you want a guy, you want to make that bet that somebody on his rookie deal is going to allow you to fill in elsewhere. And just the flexibility, the understanding of that sort of market inefficiency in the NFL right now is there, and actually using Russell Wilson as an example, that despite the fact that they'd spent all the money on Matt Flynn, here came this guy who you had to acknowledge, you know what, this is the best guy we have, and that allowed them to spend money elsewhere. The Bears do have their own cap issues, but just think how much of a commitment it would be locking everything in with all their current pieces had they gone after Russell Wilson. A lot of people said this is better.
Yeah, I mean, an elite quarterback on a rookie contract is still the jackpot in today's NFL. That's still what you absolutely want as the single best thing you can have in terms of a salary cap cheat code, in terms of a team building head start. If you can't have that, the next best thing is just an elite quarterback, period, regardless of what it costs. And that's where Russell Wilson is right now. Obviously, he's beyond that rookie contract, but he is as good as it gets in the NFL over the last, you know, however number of years. Maybe he's never quite been at the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers this past season. Maybe not quite at that level, but he's right there. But I think NFL teams are always going to want to chase the jackpot, the guy that gives you maybe not quite all of that, maybe most of that, but gets you on the rookie contract, because that's when you can have just make huge inroads into chasing that Super Bowl. That's what opens up the window, and you can get there a lot quicker if you have all that salary cap space and the ability to put a roster around this guy, and then you work out how to maintain it, you know, in the subsequent years when you have to pay the quarterback and you have to start making decisions in terms of who gets paid and who gets the extension and who doesn't. But I understand why teams would be chasing the guy on the rookie deal, because that just gives you so much more flexibility and freedom.
I always laugh when a team makes its second round pick or even its third round pick, and they say, well, we had a first round grade on him. We didn't think this guy was going to fall to us, because they always say that. However, I believe it about Tevin Jenkins. If you start looking at who drafted for positional need and what seemed to be the preponderance of consensus of where he was supposed to go, that feels like another first round pick. And then they double down on it by cutting Charles Leno and saying pretty much, yeah, we're not going to be afraid of giving him first crack at the left tackle position. So that betrays a great deal of confidence in that move and in him.
Yeah, I think certainly letting go of Leno sort of backs up the idea that they did think that highly of Tevin Jenkins. You know, to be letting go of a player that has been a solid left tackle. You know, Charles Leno has been a good player, certainly relative to what it costs to acquire him. To get rid of him and give Tevin Jenkins that start gig absolutely speaks to the idea that they had confidence in this player as a first-round talent. And whether they did or they didn't, I think it's massively significant recognizing the need and going after an offensive lineman to protect Justin Fields, because Fields didn't slide, you know, absent cause entirely. There are negatives to his game that I think are things that concern certain NFL teams, things that scared away some people.
Which
and
are
all
what?
Of those things
specifically.
He has always had a tendency to hold onto the ball a little bit too long. And when things start to break down in front of them, when things start to force him to make decisions and make changes to what his plan was on the fly, he tends to lock up a little bit. And those are where the worst plays happen. Now, all those things get worse if you have an offensive line that's going to put him under more pressure than any other offensive line. And, you know, the important thing is that it hasn't been a big part of his career. You know, it's a small flaw that could get worse at the next level if you don't pay attention and sort of keep on top of it. In the same way Baker Mayfield always had, you know, the negative tendencies that are in his game in the NFL, they were always there in college. They were just a really small part of his game. And if you didn't stay on top of them the way the Browns didn't when everything fell to pieces, suddenly they become a much bigger part of his game. And now you're saying, well, you know, is Baker Mayfield going to make it as a starting quarterback? That's the kind of thing that could happen to Justin Fields if Chicago didn't do what they did. You know, if they didn't target the offensive line and made sure that like a small negative of his game doesn't become a much bigger negative and start to overcome the incredible accuracy and just the incredible consistency and the big playmaking ability that he does have.
The only negative for me would be seeing Andy Dalton when I don't want to. I've seen Andy Dalton and I know what that looks like. And maybe I'm once bitten, twice shy after living through the Mike Glennon experience. And that's perhaps not fair to Andy Dalton to do that, but you got the guy, coach him up and get him out there and let's see this. I'm impatient and I want to rip open the gifts on Christmas morning here.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a right or wrong way of, you know, blooding a new quarterback into the NFL. I think there's evidence that guys who have sat for an extended period of time have done extremely well. There's evidence that guys get thrown in there immediately do extremely well. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all thing. I think you have to make that determination with the quarterback. And I think most quarterbacks are going to be ready the way the NFL is right now and the way the college landscape is to come in and be the best option you have on the roster from day one. So, yeah, I don't see a big reason why Justin Fields would need to wait any extended period of time to get on the field. And if he does, it probably isn't a great sign. You know, maybe just through lip service, you know, a lot of teams think the best way of doing it is to sit a guy for a few games, but it never lasts more than that. So, you know, maybe if he sits a couple of games, okay, that's just the way they want to go. But if Fields isn't on the field, you know, 3, 4, 5 games into the season, then I think things are not being done right.
Sam Munson, always terrific. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
That's Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus on Sports Radio 670. When we come back, I want you to hear from the Bears head coach himself. Matt Nagy was on Rich Eisen's podcast, and he gave us some more clarity as to what is on the table and what may not be regarding the timing of who's going to start a quarterback and how they're going to make that decision. So I guess I'm yet another thing about which I may be encouraged. You might be too. We'll play that next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
We got to make sure, meaning myself and our coaching staff, the scenario that plays out is right for Justin and the Chicago Bears. And what I mean by that is Justin has to be ready. The worst thing that we could do is put Justin into a situation where there's some, you know, where he failed and it's hard for him. Now, is there going to be times where he fails? Absolutely. That's how you learn. But we will know if Justin gives us a better chance to win than Andy does, then that's something that we and myself as the head coach who makes the decision will have to make that choice. We have a lot of belief with the roster that we have and the players we have that with Andy, we can do a lot of good things. But we also have to be real and I have to be prepared for what you just brought up. And as long as we know that whoever that quarterback is, that they're better for the Bears, and if that's Justin, then we'll do that. And no matter whether it's whatever week it is, we will make sure that it's best scenario for Justin and best for the Bears.
There's been too much talking lately, so.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm coming out of that. Anything short of a hard commitment to Andy Dalton, there's a lot of wiggle room there. That's really encouraging. That swung the door wide open. That's the Rich Eisen podcast. Matt Nagy, who's talking everywhere, but with Chicago media outlets, and that's fine. We can get the sound. We can turn it around. However we get the information, we get the information. I always think it's nice when it's handled locally. I don't know what the fear is, if they're worried that we know too much and might ask difficult questions, but that's not a question he would shy away from. That's good. So if that's the case, you know, I would just say, give him every opportunity to make that case. The in-between there is, are you going to give him the chance to make you ask those hard questions? Is he going to get enough time with the ones? Or are you just going to say, well, Dalton right now technically is QB1. Are they going to start on an even footing, quote-unquote competition? That's when we get into the semantics and how this is all described and how they explain everything. But because this has been in sort of an optimistic Bears day, I'm going to choose to hear the good in that. And that is, they haven't said, No. This Andy Dalton, we made him this promise. He's going to be the guy no matter what. That it sounds like they will allow Justin Fields the opportunity to prove that they can't keep him off the field. And that's going to come with however they distribute some of this stuff. There's no such thing as an unbiased quarterback competition. That's not possible with human beings and with coaches having some preconceived notions. And because they control the snaps, they control with whom you play and when, there's always a thumb on the scale. My hope is that they recognize that they push back against their own biases, that they have some checks and balances in their system, and they make sure they're getting as clear-eyed a look at that position in training camp as they possibly can. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Lawrence Holmes for Transition here on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.